Years ago, I said, you are not learning the language of your dreams. You are creating a language so you can understand your dreams. Now I want to say something different. Do you understand that you are not learning the language of your dreams? The problem is you don't have a language for understanding yourself and life today. Does that make sense?
Mm.
What to you is the difference between memory Y and memories S? As I have stated it before. Memory Y is stored complete, whole, while memory S are broken down into little aspects and stored and recalled and rearranged in that way, such that even parts that are not part of the thing or event that you're recalling are frequently included in the recalled memories. Now it seems like to me that memories S being recalled and rearranged and reinstalled allows you to learn, grow, and understand. Whereas memory Y, which is stored as a whole unit and recalled as a whole unit, keeps you kind of just doing the same thing over and over again. So it would sound like memories S is better, but is it really? So, I think memory Y is like a picture language, while memories S are like a word language in which is arranged from pieces. And that's what you're doing. The data, as I talked about before, of languaging is ABC, and then that comes together to form words. Then you put words together to supposedly form ideas. The problem is that the picture language is what it says, while rearranging pieces, like for languaging, you put the pieces together as you want them, and also the pattern or plan upon which you arrange the pieces controls what you're saying. Memories S allow growth and change, no doubt about that. That is not allowed by memory Y. But you are not learning the language of your dreams. You know your dreams, but you don't properly convert that knowing to the language of yourself in life. You remember when I said a long time ago, every word I say should create an image. I don't mean that a word creates an image. You should create the image of what I am saying. And everybody stands there and says, well, no image comes. Create the image. The world isn't out there creating images for you. That's like dreams. Create the image. You understand your dreams, you just don't know that you understand them because you can't convert them to memory S or languaging. It doesn't make any too much sense. And since you can't directly convert it to languaging, you think you don't understand your dreams. That's a mistake. In rearranging memories S, or aspects of a language, the pattern of rearranging or the underlying structure of language is misleading you. So in all the
Roger,
things...
Roger, before you go further, can I ask a question?
Yeah?
I'm sorry, my question is, so you said like, I'm this is my way of what I heard you say, don't look to a word to create an image.
Don't look to a word.
The words aren't going to create.
You create the image.
The words aren't going to create an image.
You create the image from the words. But everybody said, has always said, and you're one of them, well, no image came. like as if it's supposed to just come to you.
Right. So, Raj, what I'm wondering is there a method or way of, since we tend to editorialize a lot in our dreams, is there a way of creating, or in life, is there a way of creating an image, me creating an image from the word in which I'm fairly safe from imposing my own, I don't know what you want to call it, biases on it?
Probably not. But that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do in understanding our dreams. We take your words as you described a dream and convert it back into a picture or an understanding. That's what we're trying to do. That's the only practice. And though I've mentioned this for 20 years, nobody has really gotten interested in their dreams. And yet, that's the greatest source of information. You understand your dreams, you just don't understand your language. What I said before was, you should create a picture of my words, then describe that picture to yourself and to me. Then I'll know if you have the same picture I have, which you'd seldom, if ever, do that. You just keep languaging away, you keep talking, and saying not a goddamn thing. Of course, in that I help you out, I have to language by describing what I'm talking about, and I'm trying to do that in describing, but not by just languaging. I'm trying to get, you see, I'm trying to get you out of the language of languaging. Because all you're doing in your life is...
What? A language of what?
I'm trying to get you out of the language of languaging.
Oh, okay.
Because all you're doing is languaging yourself in life, creating a false self in life. You don't even know what you're doing in that regard. Like, for instance, let's talk about Simone's dream. Now, you keep in mind what I just said. She understands this is Simone's dream. Let's assume for a minute she understands her language, I mean her dream, but doesn't know how to language what that means in her life. She can't convert it to the language that she typed here at the email. I'm coming from visiting my friend Sandra. I am standing at the railway station. My luggage beside me. My child is sitting on my right arm. That's long past the first incipit. Now, you understand, there. I've read lately, I went through some old dream books for introductions. Nobody even understands the or has mentioned the word incipit or anything like it. Let's assume that I invented it. I don't care. It works. 50 years of doing dreams. And so the incipit is that first line that tells you what the dream is going to talk about. So everything you say about the dream must be relative to the incipit. Coming from visiting my friend Sandra, and I'm standing at the railway station. That allows me to ask Simone about Sandra. What is Sandra? Who is Sandra? What is she to you? Talk to me about Sandra so I understand. Describe her and your relationship so I have a picture of that.
She is a colleague from me from an earlier school I worked. We did many things together, like campus children. Or we had the same way teaching the children, and we became friends, and now she married, but she's on her way to divorce again. And it seems that I don't understand her anymore.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think would happen, or what do you feel like if you came home to as a different person, or if you got into a relationship as a different person today with Sandra? You're not you. Mm. You're somebody entirely new. What do you think that would happen in that regard?
I would even more introduce her to the stuff I hear
what?
From you.
I don't understand. What did you say?
I would introduce her more to the stuff I hear from you.
Forever Living.
What?
She would introduce her to Forever Living.
No. I say you're an entirely different person. What would that be like? What do you think would happen to your relationship in your family or with the people from your past?
I think I maybe lose some persons.
Okay. The next line says, I don't know the station, so I'm looking around. The train arrives. I step into a wagon. You mean a car? A train car?
Yes. Yes.
The train starts direction going home. At the moment it is moving, I realize that I left my luggage at the station. I don't really care and think by myself. I have my child, the luggage I can leave behind. I wake up. Very short explanation. It seems that I am ready to leave old beliefs, which you put in as luggage, behind and bring home a new belief, child, probably from you. What in the world would make you even think that that is the beginning of understanding that?
From earlier dreams we did, to remember that child is a newborn.
Something new, but why new beliefs?
Because you introduced me to very new beliefs.
So?
And I try to integrate them into my life.
Why do you do that? Why don't you create a new life? A new self in life? Like I asked you, what would happen if you were an entirely different person, a new self in life? What do you think? And you said, I'd probably lose them. How many other people feel the same way? Are you you want to stay the same and talk about new and different beliefs, but you don't want to integrate it into your life to be a different person?
I understand what you're saying.
Is that maybe,
my approach,
maybe that's the problem here, you see? Because the truth of it is, that the self, the baby, is a baby self, a new self. And the luggage is like the old baggage, old beliefs, old baggage. True. I'll go for that. Mm. But we can't have luggage as beliefs and baby as beliefs, too.
But, oh, I gotcha. Right.
But you see, all you're doing here is then thinking and interpreting it only relative to some kind of safe thing, safe understanding. And that's why I asked you offhand and out of context, because I had already read the dream, what it would be like if you were a different person. your relationship with Sandra and your family. Isn't it possible, as a new child, that's you taking yourself as a new person or a new child back home or where you're going on the train? Why are you?
Yes,
why
that
might
can
it,
be Paul.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm asking you, why might it be so fearful for you to do that? You maintain the self that you are, which you don't really want, as we've said before many times, and change the beliefs. That doesn't change you. Why don't you use the beliefs to change yourself? Are you afraid of that? Everybody listening in is the same, asking the same question. And I think the answer is yes. You really don't want to be anybody else. You're afraid to be anybody else. But the whole idea of eternal self is being your eternal self, not talking about it. Now, let's go on.
Yeah.
Is anybody objecting to what I'm saying? See, your problem is
you
probably know that dream is talking about that, but you don't convert it into language that you understand because you're afraid to do that, or yourself that you understand because you're afraid to do that.
Hey, Roger.
What?
Just got one question. So what? you asked a series of questions about being afraid of, you know, changing out, the being a whole new self. And I'm wondering, so just in listening to the dream, I guess this is actually an old question. The dream just seems to show something of her doing this. Kind
That's
of
right.
Coming home in a,
that's why I asked it out of context.
So does it, do you think the dream is saying that she is doing this, or she's contemplating
it? I think the baby is doing this. I think the fact that she converts it to languaging, she changes the whole concept of the... let's see. My child is sitting on my right arm. My child, why ever would you treat child in that regard as a belief? It's a child. It's a child self. I can see using language, luggage as old beliefs, the same as you would say luggage as baggage, as old beliefs.
Yes.
But
that's
I
came from.
But then...
But I think it's more interesting to take the child not so narrow as I did, yes.
Well, it's not a matter of interesting. It's a matter of creating a language to understand your life. Your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to yourself in this language of memories this way. You put things together in new and different ways.
Hello?
But it also creates problems.
You broke up somehow.
Not me.
I didn't hear the last.
I said,
Roger, we had about 5 seconds of silence there.
Oh, yeah. Really? There was no silence here.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Of course.
I said you recognize some of these things, but when you put it together in words, in languaging, it gets lost. Your whole concept gets lost. You've lost the picture. And then you just follow the words. You never create a picture back again to check whether the words you're using seem to suit the picture. All right, I've been talking about dreams for 20 years with you guys, and a lot longer with other people. But I'm saying now, the problem is your languaging that you're using today is where you're going all amok. It's not that you don't understand your dreams. you don't understand the language you're using in creating a new self in life. Does anybody want to comment about any of this somewhere along the line?
I do. Yeah, I do. What you're saying makes sense to me in that, I mean, recently I've begun feeling like somehow the dream is familiar or makes sense, but I do have a challenge saying, just putting it to a specific reference in my life, because I use language, I guess, to do that.
That's because your life, in your life today, is a language life, and it doesn't make sense.
Oh, that's... How come when we talk about the dream on Monday, I've been getting, like, so much, I guess...
Your life today makes sense. I'm saying it doesn't make sense the way you language it.
Okay, makes sense relative to what?
To even to you, as something you want or don't want or understand or anything.
Oh, all right.
What part of your life do you want? What part of your life is going the way you want it to go?
That's a good question. I don't have an immediate answer.
Well, that's unfortunate. But that's what I'm trying to say. You don't have an immediate answer because you can't you can't think of an answer that fits your languaging process. Fact is, most of your languaging makes absolutely no sense to me or to you. Let's assume that Simone follows that she's leaving old beliefs behind and bringing home new beliefs. Does that statement of the getting on the train and everything, does that statement follow that belief? She's got beliefs as baggage and beliefs as child.
I've always seen children as something new.
What?
A part of you that's new.
It's new. It doesn't necessarily mean new beliefs. It's a new self.
Well, with Karen, we talked about it as progeny.
Progeny, creation, yes.
So my question to you, my question has always been, isn't an abiding self a new self? An eternal self a new self? You don't know or experience and cannot talk about your eternal self or abiding self. So what if you came home?
So it is new.
Huh?
So it is new.
It's right. It is you. The baby is you. It's a new you.
Yeah. To me, it is new. Yes.
So my question is, what would it be like if you actually... Now live these things that we talk about. You'd become a new you or a different you. Then what? You're afraid that if you became a different you, you'd lose everyone in your past.
Well, old friends would fall away because they would be living a different type of life.
And especially family members.
Yes.
But new people would come into it.
And I see that around myself. I have another friend that is... We also did many things together. But
are you willing to put everything at risk to be a new you?
The new real you?
Yes.
You say, yeah, but the dream seems to indicate no.
Okay.
And that's what I've said all along.
Where do you see that it indicates no?
Because of what you said. You take child and make it a belief, not a new self.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's a second dream.
I'm more like the new self. And I someone want to say something. Yes, something. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello.
I'm Tyler. Okay. Isn't the fact that the child is sitting on her right arm significant, and that she's saying that she's offering her new self to life as opposed to the left arm, which would be...
None of that is said in the dream. None of that is said in the dream.
It says she's sitting on her right arm. Isn't that significant?
So let's assume that it is significant. Can't right be right without there being an alternate left? Must everything be a duality in life? Must it be a right arm as opposed to a right way or a right side rather than a wrong side? That's what I'm talking about in language.
I didn't say wrong.
What?
I'm sorry if I said, I know I said opposing. I didn't mean against. I just meant.
But that's what you essentially implied that.
She wouldn't have specified right if it wasn't significant. She would have said, I had a child on my own.
Cannot things be right for you without there being a wrong or a left? I think we went through this last week.
I didn't say so.
Huh?
Besides which...
I think we went through this last week.
No.
Besides which, in a dream,
she's
describing what she sees.
She's describing only what she sees, not what... She's not interpreting it that way.
When she says she's holding a baby on her right side, that's what she's seeing. That doesn't mean that that's significant, because the baby has to be on one side or the other if she's holding the baby.
And then,
if she went on from there to say that I have to hold it on my right side, or I want to hold it on my right side, or something that brings your attention to that, then you're going to really look at that it's on its right side.
Well, okay, but I still think she mentioned it for a reason, and that it can mean she's offering herself. That was my point.
That's not part of the dream. It doesn't mean anything. There's nothing offering.
Hold the child out. She didn't offer the child. She didn't hold it.
There's no offering.
No, it's sitting on my hip into my right arm. Yes.
Right. You have to carry the child somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
So wait a minute. Exactly. Let me interrupt.
Yeah.
I want to discuss something. Dreams tell you about the self and the personal self and life you are living, regardless of the self and life you think you are living. And part of that is, as we've interpreted things before, the incipit talks about that. But the dreams also talk about your eternal self. And in talking about the eternal self, you must interpret the dream entirely different. Like Miss M says, knowing your eternal self, you must reduce the dream to only those things that you can see. You cannot see her thinking. So anything that you can see, the image that you have of this dream, if you have to get rid of any commentary by Simone and anything that even implies that it's something you cannot see. You get the dream down to the bare bones of only that which you can see. You now have a picture, and that picture talks to you of your eternal self. It's a different way of understanding your dreams.
She just gave me a new refinement of the image where the child was sitting on her. She just refined the image for me. where the child was sitting on her right hip with her right arm around her, which gives it more power from what I learned from you in the dictionary. Isn't it about empowering her own?
You go get the dictionary. The descriptionary. Right and left, giving and receiving, or right and wrong, are only something to start with, but they are not truths, they are not givens. So,
and what about this?
You can start there simply because your language habitually puts it into a right, wrong, or giving, receiving.
Angela, what you're doing
I also had the idea that it could mean something, but I didn't follow that. Yeah.
Unless it's something that draws attention to it, it's just a description of that she has a child, and the child is somewhere, because it can't be just floating there or anything else. The child has to be somewhere. She is carrying it, and that's all you can say.
Okay.
And that child is her abiding, eternal, abiding self, in my opinion.
Yes, I like that. I think.
But she's afraid to even think of that. So she dismisses that as not herself and makes it old beliefs and new beliefs.
Okay.
Probably from you. I'm sorry, Simone. I have to tell you, you and I have never done it, so it probably is not a child from me. Besides, I had a vasectomy 60 years ago.
That's for sure, yes.
Unless there was something that brought your attention to it being Roger, you know, like it looked like Roger, then otherwise, no.
But he is the one who introduced me to really new beliefs. And
well, I'm not introducing you to new beliefs. I'm trying to introduce you to a new you, a different you.
The abiding self.
And you keep living like everybody else, the same self, and talk about new beliefs.
You can say that the luggage is your old beliefs. That's your old baggage. But you can't take those beliefs any further than that. You can't make two things beliefs in a dream.
Okay,
take the second dream. I am one of the leaders in a camp for children. You mean for leader for a camp for beliefs? In the previous dream, you used child as beliefs. And so are we now talking about beliefs again? Camp for children.
That's where I went to, yes.
Yes, see. You, in a short explanation, you said, I am protecting my new beliefs against ancient beliefs. Yes. You've made children beliefs again.
Angela, would you close your circuit? I think we've got a feed going.
Everything in the camp went well so far, until one day we're attacked by police-type guys. They were wearing blue overalls and have been heavily armed. Do you think you would be attacked if you became a new person? A different person? You'd be attacked for declaring who you are? That's what
I do get attacked, really. Yes.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe it is the way and the manner in which you declare, or maybe it is a manner, as what we've said, is you don't have a language. You're using your Swiss German as a language, but it's not a language that communicates to anyone. They don't understand you, and you don't understand you. The language of our dreams, or understanding this, is so you can understand yourself better and then maybe in that way communicate yourself better to others.
Yeah, in different ways.
Oh. It's the same way as memory and memories. You rearrange the little parts. Alphabet is the data. You put the alphabet together to make words, and you put words together to make information. But the words are put together on a pattern of languaging, which establishes no matter what you do or however you put it together, subject, verb, predicate, or any way you put it together, depending on what language you're using, the structure of the language that you put it together dictates everything. And I'm trying to get you out of doing that.
It seems to be difficult.
Well, of course, because we think our language is correct. It means something to you. But it doesn't mean anything to anyone else because they're not even thinking the same language. And in the same way, you don't understand your dreams. They don't understand you.
And you don't understand
them. You don't understand them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I agree. Yeah.
Okay. They were wearing blue overalls and have been heavily armed. We leaders were able to protect many things and all the children, all the new cells. A few days later, after cleaning up the mess, all leaders except me went out for filling up the food. I assume that means for buying more food or getting more food.
Yes, it was.
While I was alone with the children, the same troop came back and started a new attack. I knocked one of them down, jumped into his clothes, and was able this way to eliminate all others. So, if children are going to be beliefs, then these attackers are beliefs that attack you. But that's not true. It's other cells that attack yourself. And other children are other people's new abiding self. Are you willing to protect others' abiding self?
Sure.
I, in my regular clothes, and the children are now sitting at the edge of the meadow near the camp house. We are all lined up. The children thank me for what I have done, and I was proud, having saved my children. Is that saved your beliefs or saved your eternal self and other eternal selves?
I think it saves my eternal self and others.
Doesn't that speak more heartfully to you than just talking about some beliefs?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody in the black box area is certainly willing to jump in here and disagree or agree, add to or subtract from what we're saying.
Or question.
Yeah, some of you know me pretty well, too.
No, I don't know you. If I knew you, then we'd be back to the child was my child, the kid that you got from me. If we know what know
okay.
means. But the point of all of this is for you to create a new self for yourself, a new image of that self, and live that. And be that. And see everyone else in a new and different way. and take care of their themselves in a new and different way. Does this make sense to everyone?
Sure does.
Does it make sense
to me?
The problem is not that you don't understand your dreams. I think you do. You just don't have a language to convert it back to speak it in terms of you understand. So let's go to your dream, Patrick.
All right.
Thank you.
The dream begins with me finding myself as an HVAC technician. HVAC stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. Let's stop there. That's the incipit. He's an HVAC technician. Heating, ventilation, and air conditioning technician. What are we going to talk about?
Attitudes.
Or the environment you create around you.
Oh, that's more.
Or more, the environment you create for others.
Or your ability to fix the environment around others. Because being a tech means
and
that
or yourself.
Means that you're able to fix things.
Aha.
Sure, it involves.
Can you read the first sentence again, please, Archer?
The dream begins with me finding myself as an HVAC technician. HVAC stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. So it seems to me that a technician of that kind is fixing, adjusting, or maintaining the environment.
Or creating new.
That's right.
It's about attitudes, yes, that's part of it. When you get down to the particulars of it, in a sense. But as a general rule, it's the environment per se.
And it's also about creating a comfortable environment. Because heating for when it's cold and air conditioning for when it's hot and the movement of air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a comfortable environment.
Do you make an effort to maintain a comfortable environment for Karen and yourself and others?
I think so, more often than not.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why are you? Have you in the last 2 weeks talked so much about your anger? Doesn't your anger create an obtuse environment?
That's correct, and that's
If you are an HVAC technician, it would seem to imply that you can create the environment, but maybe you don't.
Well, the interesting thing is
we don't know.
I find myself creating a comfortable environment for just about everybody I know, except for Taryn and you. That's what I find interesting. It's not that I go out there and I'm angry at everybody out there.
Maybe we're the only two people that give a damn. Mm.
Entirely possible.
Well, let's look at it from that perspective. I am in an institutional environment, and it is unlike any I have been in. So is Karen and I creating an environment that you've never been in? Are we expecting or creating an environment that is strange for you? There are long corridors with small cubicles on each side of the hallway.
Cubicles.
I eventually decide it is a hospital that I am walking down the corridor looking for whatever I am supposed to be doing. Anybody want to deal with that?
What is a cubicle?
It's a very small space. It's like a small room.
In the form of a cube?
Well, just any shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so as Patrick is, I guess, doing his thing of fixing the environment, he's looking for a way or something he's supposed to do in that, a way he's supposed to do that.
So how does that describe your life today, Patrick?
It describes my life that I know how to do these things, but I keep on looking for a place to apply my knowing about how to do these things and maintaining a comfortable environment.
What if there is no supposed to?
Can I comment some? Yeah. Can I, Pat, I just want to say it sounds a little more like your answer changed the emphasis of the question, meaning to me it was just, it was you said looking for a place to do it, and the question seems to be more that you think that there, or it sounds to me like you, there is a way you think you're supposed to do it.
That's a good catch. Because in the dream, I knew I was supposed to be doing something. There was some kind of expectation that I was supposed to be doing something, and I didn't know what it was.
So the what and the thing, yeah? Not so much the where. That's right.
Is that a problem in your life today?
Oh, big time.
Hmm.
What do you think you are supposed to be doing?
Fixing things.
In general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm the solutions guy. People come to me, they got problems, I help them find solutions to their problems. They like to talk to me, I help them find the way out of the box that they seem to put themselves in. Holy crow, a cubicle.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the box. I pass a cubicle on my right that seems to have someone in it that I recognize. I look more closely into the cubicle, trying not to be obvious about looking. I recognize the person as Marin Penny. What does Marin Penny mean to you? What is her significance in your life?
A very dear friend that's been taken away from us, living in Vancouver, we have little or no contact with her. I don't have any sisters, and I adopted her as my sister. And she and me and Karen, and when Isaac was around, we did a lot together, but it was really me, Karen, and Marin that did a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go see her, but I'm not sure it would be appropriate or welcome, so I look for someone on the staff of the institution to ask. The staff person confirms that it is in fact Marin and that it is okay for me to visit her. My question is that person on the staff Karen, or are you afraid that if you were to go visit Marin, that might imply all sorts of, quote, wrong things? Is it?
I hadn't gone there. When I was writing that out, I thought that was my tendency to want to seek authority to do what I'm doing?
To ask permission.
Yeah. Yeah, that's more like it.
My question is, what do you think? What do you think would be the result if you said to Karen that you wanted to go see Marin?
I think Karen would be delighted. She'd say, can I come too?
Well, let's ask Karen.
I was just thinking the same thing when he said that. I would say, can I come too?
What if the answer is no?
Then see when you're visiting with her, see if you can talk her into coming over here.
Why?
Because she's a good friend and fun to have around. I miss her.
So it's okay with you if he goes and visits Marin?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the answer you would want, Patrick?
Sure.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I go back to the cubicle, which is very small, only enough room for the bed, a 3-foot wide space between the bed and the other wall, and a small cupboard in that space against the back wall. Marin is happy to see me. We both attempt in several ways to give each other a hug. But the space is so small and Marin is so limited in her ability to move that we don't manage to do a hug. What if Marin means more than that to you? What else might Marin mean to you?
Well, when I first met her, I really had the strong feeling that we were old souls together, that saying, that she wasn't new to me, that I had known her, and we joked around about us being sisters in a past lifetime. And we shared a lot about that kind of connection.
So what if Marin means more than just that?
Yeah, it's hard to answer that. I don't see.
I know that you answered it, but I said, what if she means more than that? Relative to being an environment technician, what is the role Marin might be playing in that regard?
Well, I know one of the things I frequently think about, it comes to mind, I bring it to mind, is that she just seems to have shut down so much of what she used to be since she married Jerry.
Jerry that Penny? Well, I told her not to get into that relationship.
I know, and I told her, and that somehow or other she decided that's what she wanted to do, and we've just watched Marin shut down. There's so much of that person we used to have so much fun with is just hardly available anymore.
Is it possible that you have shut down to be in your relationship?
Anything's possible. Do I contain myself for the sake of the relationship?
Yes.
Yes, I do that. Yes, I do that.
Well, okay.
Patrick, I was curious. Did Marin have a role in the stuff you guys were doing with your Thursday night groups? Or
with what?
Yeah, I'm not sure everything you guys were doing.
Yes, Maren was very much part of that. And we had many lively conversations. And it, she, Jerry didn't want to have anything to do with that, and so she just dropped Forever Living completely.
Oh, okay.
So do you feel you have to be who you're not, that you don't want to be in order to understand or these Forever Living? That you can't just live that in your life easily with the people you're involved with?
That's true. I find that I get quite passionate about living Forever Living, that sometimes I'm afraid it scares people away and they don't want to listen anymore. Tone myself down.
Is it possible that the language you use doesn't suit the image you have?
Language I'm using does that
does not suit the image you have of yourself?
It's entirely possible that I'm languaging what I am imaging and they don't match.
Okay, well, I don't have any more dreams for tonight. Those are the only ones that were sent me. We appreciate them from Patrick and Simone. Anybody else?
You didn't get the one I sent you guys last week? About the naval ship?
Yeah, I guess I did. But that was last week, and I think I filed it away with that. That got filed away with last week.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't cover it last week. That's
whatever. That's right, we didn't. It's filed away now under the 12th of October.
All right.
What I'm going to have Miss M do is read an introduction from a book about dreams. And she's going to read it very slow so we can interrupt it along the way.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not having her read this because I agree with it, but I want to use, because there's things I want to interrupt and change and bring up.
Can I ask you a question, please?
Yeah.
Does this mean you did not write it?
I did not write it.
Okay.
But I was reading a bunch of introductions this week, and this is the only one that had even a beginning of saying something I wanted to say. So, anything you agree or disagree with along the way, please interrupt or say something.
Or if you have any questions.
Right, if you have any questions.
Okay, here we go. Dreams are part of the process of human evolution. And whether the individual notices it or not, dreams will always be contributing to his efforts to fulfill the whole of his potential.
Does that make sense? Dreams don't do anything. They personify dreams as a doer or an actor. Dreams don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's you talking to yourself through dreams. So they aren't doing anything for you or to you. That's you doing yourself and speaking of yourself in that way. The problem is you understand the images, you just don't understand the language. It doesn't meet the language, what I've said before so many times. It doesn't meet the languages that you use, so it doesn't make sense.
And somehow then our society has moved the what? We imposed dreams.
What?
We imposed all our beliefs about evolution. We imposed all our beliefs about evolution and
you imposed all of your beliefs about everything onto dreams. I mean onto life.
Yeah.
And onto your language. And languaging then doesn't make
right.
sense. Because your beliefs about life don't make sense. Is there any belief about life that you truly desire? You're born, you live, you're born, you live,
no,
you die.
Not really?
Is there anything in that that you desire?
No. More the God stuff in between, in all its forms.
Okay. Concentrating especially on those parts that he is neglecting and that are therefore threatening the growth and development of his personality.
If you are creating the dream, how is the dream focusing on what you are neglecting? Obviously, if you're creating the dream, then you are not neglecting those parts. You merely don't like them. And you're aware of that.
Right.
If it is,
so, but they do show me what I'm doing. Is that correct?
No, you show yourself.
Oh, okay.
They don't show you a damn thing.
What you guys are doing is making dreams an outside entity, and it's not. It's you.
Okay.
If it is true that men have evolved from something resembling sponges, if the most primitive matter has gradually been refined over the ages, first into the sense of touch, then into the eye that sees, and finally into that most complex and sensitive of living organisms, the human mind, with its intellect, memory, and imagination, then there is plainly a spontaneous process of growth at work in nature that does not depend on anybody's being aware of it.
Then there is nothing you should do or have to do or must do in life in that regard. Does that make life seem useless to you if there is no purpose to life or to your life that's something that you should do? Are you creating something that you should do, you know, in an attempt to somehow or other create a meaning for you? Because otherwise life seems meaningless. But my question, of course, is does it that creating a there's something you should do and you don't know that, doesn't that make the meaningless, doesn't that bring the meaningless home to roost?
Well, the aspect of connection is through the awareness, though, and I'm not necessarily aware of the you know, of aspects of the dream, but when my awareness comes into play, that suggests that I see something that then connects with something else and gives me direction or drive or something I feel that I need to act on or do.
I don't think I understand what you're saying. I hear your words. And I think I understand your words, but I don't think I understand what you're really saying.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't you just plainly tell me?
What is it that I see? Who is it that's seeing that? You know, the picture or the dream unfolds.
Give me a picture of yourself and your life. Describe the picture of yourself in life.
Well, very simply, now I am sitting here.
What?
Well, I am sitting here.
No, I'm talking about your life. What is the image you have of yourself in life? Anybody can answer that. Okay, Peter, I'm going to ask you this question. Why are you thinking of going to Beijing? What do you expect in, or think the Beijing will give you?
First and foremost, a new outlook.
A new outlook? What is the old outlook, or what new outlook are you looking for? That's what I asked you. What is your image of self and life? If you're looking for a new outlook, then tell me what your outlook is that you don't want, that you want a new one of. You afraid to answer that question?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. It is a good question. To be able to see myself in a different way, where the environment around what I believe myself to be has actually changed.
Where what?
So you think
where the environment around.
Wait a minute. You said to see yourself in a different way. What has the environment got to do with that?
Yeah. Do you think the environment is going to change how you see yourself? Are you that
bound to everything that goes on around you?
Yeah. Are you that not you?
I must be.
If you're truly living your abiding self, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what environment you're in. It doesn't matter what's going on around you.
That's what your dreams are trying to show you.
I'm beginning to get a sense of what that might be like.
What you will find in the way that you're doing life right now is no matter where you take yourself, there you are.
Mm.
You can go to China. You can go to the Antarctic. It doesn't matter where you go. You're still going to be Peter until Peter decides to truly step forward and be himself.
So there too, and that's Miss M's opinion.
And you ask these guys, I don't usually pipe up unless I really have something to say.
And she's on a roll.
So in principle, it's very easy to accept what it is that you say. And the more difficult part is to live it. And to actually become that.
I don't disagree with that. But the first issue in all of this is in understanding your dreams. Then it's not so hard to live it, because what you're doing is trying to live a false language life, self and life. Your dreams will give you a truer perspective of yourself. You don't need to go anywhere else.
And what you are doing currently, in my opinion, is running away in order to busy yourself with something else so that you don't have to look at who you really are.
And that's only a language problem. When you say not look at who you are, that's a language problem, not a self problem. Does everybody else understand what she's saying?
I believe I do, yes.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Okay, anything wrong with the book? Nevertheless, there is all the difference between continually thwarting and frustrating its activities at the expense of a lot of fruitless energy, and becoming increasingly aware of our own inner needs and cooperating.
Fruitless energy and languaging. I want to add to that.
Okay. And languaging. And becoming increasingly aware of our own inner needs and cooperating with them.
Is it possible you don't have any inner needs? The dream
doesn't... What are in the knees?
Huh?
What are inner needs?
That's right. Everybody talks about these things.
No, she's saying, what are inner needs?
But I'm just saying, what if you don't have any inner needs?
Needs. N-E-E-D-S, Simone.
Oh, okay.
What she thinks she said. Knees? Inner knees?
Yeah, she didn't know what inner knees were.
Oh, I understand that.
I don't know what those are either.
But they, my inner knees hurt all the time.
Okay. Dreams tell us what we need as well as what we desire in order to be complete.
Are you willing to say dreams don't tell you any of that? Dreams only, you're telling yourself where you are. It doesn't tell you what you need or want.
It's like one of those maps that say, you are here.
Now what are you going to do?
Okay.
I'll go over there to Beijing.
Then you're still going to get to a map that says, you are here.
But it's going to be in Chinese and you're not going to be able to read it.
Dreaming involves directing the dreamer's attention, especially to whatever he is most in danger of ignoring or rejecting in his everyday waking attitudes.
But that's really only you talking to you. As in with Simone here, she is most likely avoiding living or being her abiding self.
Often, when the individual's outlook is becoming too rigid or limited, dreams give the other side of the picture.
Rigid or limited means languaged. You limit yourself by languaging yourself.
Jung realized that Freud found so much sexual content in dreams because he, like so many other people at that time, degraded sexuality. Similarly, if people exclude all altruism and wonder from their waking thoughts, their dreams would call attention to this.
Which isn't really true. But in living your language, that might be true. But that's not really what's going on. So in your dreams, the language of your dreams tells you beyond the duality of language. Talks to you about the real self. But when you convert that back into your language thinking, you don't know how to do that. So it's your language, your everyday language that is at fault or that is limiting, not the dreams.
Jung also made a clear distinction between the idea of being perfect and being whole.
And your dreams don't speak of either of those things. Perfect and whole is not a part of dreams at all.
They judge nothing. Okay. That is, developing every aspect of the personality, every faculty of the mind, and using all the senses, including sexuality.
That's not required. Dreams don't require, neither do that.
To their utmost, but never one at the expense of another. Even the most spiritual...
See, even the words he's using here is putting in everything into conflict. Any duality or polarity, sorry, Angela, starts creating this conflict. And then everything said, used in the language, is only in conflict. All of your language today is merely in conflict, which creates a self and life in conflict.
even the most spiritual and intellectual attitudes may threaten this wholeness if they are too exclusive and don't give due regard to the emotions and the flesh. And this seems to be the underlying purpose of dreams, to restore the balance between the various parts of the personality so that they complement rather than destroy each other.
They just tell you where you are. You can do whatever you damn well want to from there.
This cannot...
Roger, I'm curious to know whether or not that word personality is if you're happy with that in the context of what was written.
What?
I am interested to know whether or not the word personality, as it was stated in that statement, is something that you would find to be comfortable. Is that correct?
No. I don't think I understand what you said, but I don't think you understand where we're coming from. It's part of the form you talked about in your thing that you don't understand. Do you understand that you are not your body? Do you understand that?
Only in as much as I have a question, Roger, as to whether or not my thoughts are actually my body. That it is material.
Let's set that aside for a minute and let me go on. Answer my question and let me go on, and then we'll come back and see if they haven't already answered the question. Are you willing to accept that you are not your body? Or I'll ask you, are you your body, yes or no?
I believe that I am in part my body.
Well, I say you're not any part of your body. Your body isn't any part of you. Your body was made by your parents, and your body belongs to your parents. And you don't have these parents that you think are your body's parents. They are not your parents. And your family is your body's family, not your family. And they loaned your body to you, and that includes your mind, and therefore your thoughts are loaned to you. Your thoughts belong more to your parents than they do to you. So your concepts and ideas are not yours. They are your body's, and your body belongs to your parents, not to you at all. You, that when I say speak of you as a self, and I have to back up here. In 1859, the fella discovered DNA, but he didn't know what the hell it was. It took him until the 1940s before anybody had any idea what DNA was. Well, your body portrays all of its ancestors through the DNA. But the particular ancestors that your parents have enlivened prior, that is the active part of your DNA, and that portrays yourself. So the self you are living is determined by your parents, by the DNA that they have activated, and your body is the image created by your parents, and the self is the self that they created, they and all of the ancestors, by what was activated. And it wasn't until the 40s that we knew that, and it wasn't even until the beginning of the 60s that we understood what the hell was going on with DNA and what it was all about. And even today you don't believe this. You are living as a stranger in a strange land in a strange body. So the answer is no. Your body that you're living is not you. The mind that you are living is not yours. There's not much of what you're doing in my opinion, that is you. We're trying to resolve that. Trying to get you to recreate yourself in life today. And you can do that simply by recreating your DNA.
Well, that's something that, you know, that's very tangible, Roger. And
it's done all the time. It's not fanciful. Yeah.
No,
it's something we know about today.
Tangible.
Huh?
Tangible.
Oh, tangible. I thought you said fanciful.
No, tangible.
Okay.
No, tangible. That's
yes, that's
specific.
Right.
I mean,
and we have ways and manners in which you can recreate or regenerate your DNA. And in regenerating your DNA from stem cells, you regenerate your body and you regenerate in that regard the self that you are or want to be.
You regenerate yourself in your own image.
That's right.
I can work with that.
That's right. And part of that, knowing your own image, is knowing your dreams. Creating the true image of yourself so that when you recreate your body as an abiding self, you create the image of yourself, that true image of yourself that you really, truly desire. And it's purely and simply something that we know now that nobody knew 50 years ago even, hardly. Crick and Watson, till they determined the image of the genes, the DNA,
the helix, the spiral,
and the role that genes play in your body and in yourself today, that was a mystery. Nobody knew what to do about it, but the stem cell research today allows us to change every aspect of yourself. Should you choose to do so. Otherwise, you're just living your parents' life over. You're living as your parents. And no, your mind is not yours either. It's your parents' mind. Not because they taught you, but because the mind they loaned you was theirs. The brain they loaned you was theirs. And that starts you off in life from a whole different perspective. I could go on for hours talking about loner self.
Are you talking about loner in the sense of being loaned?
That's right. They loaned it to you. They made your body
okay.
And loaned it to you.
Okay, that's what I needed to clarify. That's good.
So I mean it exactly that. It's not yours. You borrowed it from your parents. That's self-evident.
Who borrowed from their parents, who borrowed from their parents.
Who borrowed from ad infinitum.
That's a nice image, actually. I understand that.
But you can change that if you truly desire to do that. Otherwise, you can keep living the same old loner self, but no matter what you accomplish and do in life as a loner being, it will never be satisfying to you because it isn't you. And you'll keep struggling.
Yeah, I got that.
You'll keep struggling, and nothing will actually be satisfactory because you're living as a stranger in your own life. So
I certainly know what that feels like.
Yeah, well, you know that from the first dream that you sent here. About going back home and your brother and wrong telephone and all of that.
Right.
Anyway, meanwhile, back to the introduction.
This cannot be achieved without inner conflict, and dreams often express this underlying tension.
The tension or inner conflict is because you are living a loner self. It's not you, and you know it.
Which, although it may be accompanied by yearning and suffering, seems to stir mankind to its greatest efforts, and so often accompanies all true growth, progress, and discovery.
All that these things are going to do is talk about is how you should live your loner self to the ultimate. When you do that and you get all through, it's ultimately nothing because it's not you.
Dreams have been described as the dress rehearsal for life. As this implies, they cover much varied ground, trying out many possibilities.
Dreams reveal the self and life you truly want to live rather than the loner self and life you've been living all along.
Trying out many possibilities that the future could hold in store before the flesh and blood live performance is acted out once and for all. Their scope in the realm of the potential is enormous. They are far too free and extravagant to be fitted into any kind of mold, but they do all arise from the most primitive part of the mind and are determined...
No, from the most, actually, derived from the most divine part of the mind.
And are determined more by the strength of the emotions within than by any other condition. It is this primitive and emotional content that is their essential value.
And you see, as soon as you put yourself into understanding that you're living as a loner being, all of that then makes perfect sense. Otherwise, it's just crap.
Through them, the individual can make contact with the roots of his being and his own true needs. When his integrity is destroyed, his inner security weakened, or his power to love impoverished, for example, he can still remain face to face with the creative sources within that reveal the meaning and the value of his existence.
See, the underlying that's going on here is he's maintaining you as a loner being and then discussing your struggle as a loner being without really mentioning, without realizing. The truth of it is that the self you are living is not the self of life you want to live at all. It isn't even you. Your illnesses and problems are not yours. They are your parents.
Reveal the meaning and the value of his existence in contrast with his superficial aims, pressures, or influences that are not in accord with his nature.
See, they're creating a conflict and not giving you any understanding of what you can do. I wrote an article about this on stem cells to tell you exactly how to recreate your body, self, and life entirely to be abiding, to be the self and life you truly desire. It's not that...
Is that the stem cells article?
What'd you say?
I don't know. It was muffled.
What'd you say?
Are you referring to the stem cell
yes.
article?
Yes.
Okay.
Which enables you to change your loner body to an eternal body and self that you truly desire.
In a crisis, when his life is particularly threatened by outside circumstances, or inner stultification? A person usually has his most vivid and meaningful dreams, and these will be all the more effective if he pays attention to them and respects them. Dreams are also disconcertingly honest, so that unless the individual is prepared to be completely sincere, it is a waste of time to unearth their hidden meaning, only to reject it out of hand.
All right, but all we're saying is the loner self that you're living today is not you. So isn't it easier to reject your loner self that you think that is you to live the new self? Of course it is. But if you think that your self and life today is really you, then you're screwed because you don't want to change that. And you do everything to protect that self and life that you think that is you. But it's obvious as soon as you take a moment's look at understanding DNA and all that that means today. And we're talking about 1944, before anybody had any idea what was going on. So this is probably a pretty new idea for most everybody that hasn't heard it before.
Even Roger was born before then.
Even I was born before that. Now, I remember 1944
very clearly.
Very clearly. Did you come to the end?
I did.
Okay. So, everything should turn around. If you understand your loner self from what people say, what they're saying seems to maintain you in a struggle. When all of a sudden you understand the you you're living is not you, and you can change all of that, it was loaned to you by your parents. And your parents are not your parents. They're the parents of your body, not you. And the family is not your family. It's your body's family, not your family. So if you have conflicts and struggles with your family and your parents, that's to understand why. You are too much like your parents because you are your parents. You are them. But they are not your parents. They never were. They played the role. They made a body and loaned it to you. Thank you very much. Now go about changing that body to be as you truly desire being.
Do I have a question? Do I actually have parents?
Do you have time what?
No, does she actually have parents?
Do you actually have parents other than the parents of your body?
Yes.
Is there an original self, you're saying?
Yes.
Is it possible that the answer is yes? But it
could
has,
be, yes.
Are you, just like in the story which I've told you, in which Mattathiah was my father. Let's call it. He's my real father, not of Hothir, not of me. Clifford is my body's parent. But you see, when we talk about spirituality, nothing of that makes sense. Because religion talks about that aspect of yourself as spiritual or spirituality, and then says that's beyond your knowing. You can't know spirit or spirituality per se. So the truth of you is kept from you by everybody and every teaching in life today. From ancient times. In ancient times, it was kept from you because they didn't know any better. Now that we know something about DNA, those people who talk about things in the old way are deluding you and themselves. Does anybody that has 1 ounce of understanding of stem cells, of DNA, knows that you are living a loner body and self? I'll repeat that 1,000 times. And the problems that you have that you were born with, the personality, is your parents' personality, not you. And let's look at it from a different perspective. You are given a body and a persona, a self, and you created a personality for that self in order to get along with the parents who are not your parents, and in order to live a body and self that is not you. You created a personality to get along. And now here you are. And you think that that personality is really you. It is not. It's your get-along self, which you aren't even getting along with.
Yeah. Okay. So actually, I am my own parent.
You are your own self.
No, she said she was her own parent.
You are your own parent, yes.
Yeah.
You can be.
Yeah.
And create as a parent of your abiding self. That's the point. You are the parent of that child. Don't look at me. Remember the song, I'm My Own Grandpa?
She's from Germany.
No, I don't know the song.
I don't think she'd know that song.
That's a little little older than even you are. And wrong country. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, until you guys are willing to accept your loner self and see then the dream in that context and understand your language in that context as to why it isn't working for you, nothing will change. Nothing of real importance or significance for you. And no matter what you do in life, no matter what it is, it will never be important to you because it's not you. Until you create your body and self as abiding, you are living a stranger in a strange land. And call up Patrick, and because you're living in a strange body. And your body is the environment of self. And tell Patrick to help you with your environment, HVAC man. You understand, Patrick?
Yep, I do.
Okay.
Isn't the environment the closest environment you have? Isn't your body that environment? And so as a technician, shouldn't you be aware of these things and be able to explain this to others to accommodate their environment for them?
And are we done? Yep. Yes.
See, Marin hasn't been around since we've talked all about these things.
No, not at all.
That's right. So she's missing all of this.
I think she'd love to hear it.
She may come to her senses after a while.
Sure, but why do we have to wait until life sucks before we'll do anything about it? your dreams are telling you these things, which is telling you about the true meaning of an HVAC technician, and Simone about the child and the baggage. The old beliefs that you are living yourself is pure baggage. You can leave that on the step. So don't try to even live your true self in continuing the self you are. You can't true it. It's not you from the beginning, and it's never going to be. You have to change yourself. Bring home a new baby. Bring home a new self to yourself.
Yeah.
And that's with everybody else. And people will attack you for just what I've said right now. People will attack you for that. But are you willing to give people to themselves? Give them back to themselves. If you don't do that, then each person is, in each lifetime, a new person. Not just personality, but a new person. By the new parents. Has nothing to do with the individual. If something new and different is composed by new and different parents, body parents, and what they've enlivened of your body's ancestors is the self that you are living today. Well, okay, I guess I've said enough. It's almost 8 o'clock here. So
fabulous, Roger.
Well. I've been bitching about that
you
long enough.
You guys need to send us dreams. You want to start understanding yourselves, you've got to do that.
Even if you want to say that's your abiding self talking to you, maybe that would help you understand. Your dreams are your eternal abiding self talking to you. Okay, well, let's hang it up there. Good night for now.